Yeah, it's sometimes the difficult is to find the right language cassette, but I try now to concentrate in English. Okay. Anyway, esteemed conference participants, so I'm very sorry to be late, as I said, but sometimes there is not turbulence in Europe only in economics, but also in environments. So, but here we are. And the item is very important because the self-government of Oran is said to be the oldest existing autonomy in the world. The decision of June 1921 of the Council of the League of Nations deals with Finnish sovereignty over Oran and its autonomy and demilitarization. With a few days of this decision, Finland had agreed through the Oran Island settlement between Finland and Sweden to protect the language, culture, and local traditions of Oran. The settlement was confirmed by the Council of the League of Nations. Then October 1921 saw the signing of the Oran Convention relating to the non-fortification and neutralization of Oran Islands. The Oran Guarantee Act, which was based on the Oran Island settlement, was passed in 1922. The Guarantee Act was an amendment to the Act of Autonomy of Oran of 1920. So those were the days. At that time, the views of the population of Oran were affected by concerns over the fate of Finland. They felt that their position would be more secure with Sweden. This was evident also very clearly in the petitions in 1917 and 1919, in which a clear majority of the population voiced the desire to be part of Sweden. The demilitarization of Oran dates back a long time. It was already agreed in the peace treaty ending the Crimean War in 1856. Demilitarization is an essential part of the current identity of Iceland's, I think I can say, at least in this period. So it served to increase stability, not only in the Åland Islands, but also in the Baltic Sea region as a whole. All countries in the region, other states and organizations can rely on Åland not being used for the military operations. An essential aspect of Åland's special status is the special protection enjoined in the province by the Swedish language. The position of Åland is made easier, I think, by the fact that the Finland, throughout her independence, has been a bilingual country where, and what I think is quite exceptionally in international comparison, the Finnish grand majority learn the language of the Swedish-speaking minority. Today, in mainland, so the number of the Swedish-speaking population is about 5-6%. However, it is no longer as clear as before that the public officials, for example, have a sufficient command of Swedish in practice. Today, for instance, in Hufvudstadsbladet, you have the latest article telling about the possibilities of the Swedish-speaking people to get help in mental health issues and the difficulties in that. But let's see the future. If the Swedish skills of the Finns continues to weaken, Åland could lean perhaps more and more towards Sweden again. This is already, I think, quite evident among the young people of the province where it comes to higher education. However, I think it would be particularly important for the students to become familiar with the Finnish decision-making and the government. So what I hope is that the young people of Åland should be encouraged to seek studies in mainland Finland where a considerable variety of studies are still available in Swedish, so to show that there is a use of these services. Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, the autonomy of Åland can be seen as Finland's input to the international peace process required after the World War I. Autonomy served to settle the dispute between Finland and Sweden. Finland herself had received full independence only a few years earlier after a period of quite long autonomy. This may have had a positive effect on Finland accepting the autonomy of Åland. The Finnish parliament gave up part of its absolute legislative sovereignty to one of the country's provinces. So, but today? Today, I think both parties, both Finland, mainland, and Åland, have had a positive experiences of the autonomous position of Åland under Finland. However, what I would say openly, this has required mutual effort and goodwill. Self-government is a living mechanism affected both by the parties and by the changing world. In international comparison, the Åland model has worked well and has gained outside interest too. And I think that this seminar today can be one part of it. The delegation of Åland supervises how provincial power is used when passing provincial legislation. So sorry that I'm the former lawyer, so I speak too much about paragraphs. But anyway, supervisory power is also held by the Supreme Court and then ultimately the President of the Republic. So as I think you have been informed, the President of the Republic may revoke a provincial act wholly or in a part. This is possible if the provincial parliament is deemed to have exceeded its legislative powers or that the act is deemed to concern the international or external security of the nation. Certain topical questions relating to the provincial legislation show that drawing the lines of provincial powers is sometimes a complex issue. I will speak it today, the opening of the Åland Islands parliament. So I mean that this is not a theoretical issue. During the October, it came two times in my own agenda. I think it would be very interesting also to have a discussion concerning the role of the Supreme Court of Finland in that way. The Supreme Court is also the Supreme Court for Åland, and in some cases, what I still remember seeing the people of the Constitutional Committee of the Parliament here, they didn't like at all when I said that they should perhaps to change their own opinion because the Supreme Court will do it anyway when the first case will come to there. But I have never been too diplomatic concerning my relations with in these issues. It's also another fact that the President of the Republic can ask the statement of the Supreme Court before her own decision. And that's concerning all matters. And when I used it first time, so the honorable members of parliament from the Constitutional Commission, they said to me that it's a mistake that the president still have this kind of possibility. But what is the mistake or what's not, I don't know, but I use it anyway. and I think it's not bad. So, what about, is there a demand for the Åland model in this modern world, outside of these funny small northern countries? So the desire for independence burns among many nations and minorities. Depending on the method of calculation, there are possibly more than 100 regions that have an active movement seeking independence or extensive self-government in this world. There are no doubt different opinions on the size of region or nation that can succeed in obtaining independence. And we see, of course, now the situation in Palestine in UN and now lately in UNESCO, that these can be quite difficult issues. But anyway, globalization is likely to steer the development towards the larger entities. So it can be perhaps possible also that the smaller entities can become more or less independent because if they then integrate to the bigger entities, so it can be handled. And I think this is not in the text, but if I said from our experience, I think also some members of the panel can agree that, for instance, the Western Balkans is a good example of that, that some of the areas are not too big there, bigger than Åland, but not too big. So autonomy maybe it could be a sensible solution in some cases. The experiences of Finland and Åland of autonomy have been a success story that is also known internationally, as today's conference, I think, partly tells. The Åland model is by no means suitable for all the situations. I have met some of the good guests also here to Åland who have said that what are the most difficult issues, why they cannot use the Åland model. They said perhaps three reasons. One is that the region is not like Åland. The second is that those who spoke, they are not like Finland and Sweden. Okay, enough reasons then not to use an Åland model. But I wouldn't give up too easily, because this is a good example, good demonstration of how somewhat problematic beginning might lead with the time a mutually satisfactory and established solution. So just remember that Åland Islanders were not so eager in the beginning, but today, as I have once heard here, if it could be honestly and fair way to vote for the autonomy today, they would do it with 110% if it would be in fair way possible. So, I mean, it succeeded with the time quite well. So it has, of course, helped that both Finland and Sweden fully accepted the decision of the League of Nations, and the relations between the countries also they have been, and they are excellent. Perhaps it also a little bit helps that countries also share the history together. Finland was more than 600 years part of Sweden. But it would be interesting, of course, to think what could happen if it could be and vice versa. That there should be the Finnish-speaking islands which would like to be the part of Finland, and how the Sweden would behave. But this is just a theory. But anyway, what is essential regarding calls for autonomy or independence is how the state protects the cultural identity of the population, as well as human rights, democracy, and legal protection. So the protection of various cultural identities, I think they might reduce, I'm not saying that they reduce it, but might reduce the pressure towards independence. These are constant topics at the international level, and it's my understanding that Finland has been successful in protecting the culture and the rights of the people in Åland. I'm also confident that this will remain true in the future. According to the current government program, the autonomy of Åland will be developed and fostered in cooperation with the province of Åland. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I always underline, and I have done it now two times already during my short contribution, so the relation also here, relation between the provinces of Åland and mainland Finland is alive. It's a living and it's developing. The development of this relationship requires trust from both parties. The relationship should be also open to changes, but these changes should be made in a transparent and fair spirit. I'm confident that this is already true between Åland and mainland Finland, and we will continue to be so in the future. So I would like to conclude by wishing the participants of this conference a successful day and interesting discussions around this important topic. So I think that you are in very, very excellent place to learn something about not always everything is black and white. There is also the shades between, and not only with gray, but with the different colors. Thank you.